Welcome again to the Transformed Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. As we continue our series entitled Forgiveness, the Breath of Life, we hope you will discover the power and reality of authentic Christian forgiveness as you study through this series with us. In today's episode, Measuring the Depth of Our Experience, we learn how to move from feeling of guilt to feelings of gratitude. But first, a word from our sponsor. Everything you need is on your computer. To work from another location, you have to copy files to a flash drive, email documents to yourself, or sync up your laptop. What a hassle. My recommendation, go to My PC to remotely access your computer from any other computer. All you need is an internet connection. Use any program, work on any file, check email, access network resources. It's easy to set up and use and as secure as online banking. Our listeners can try GoToMyPC free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited remote access free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomypc.com/podcast. That's gotomypc.com/podcast for a free trial. And now back to our episode. Forgiveness is not a commodity, something we receive in some kind of religious transaction by exchanging our merit or our penance. It is a free gift of a gracious God that we receive through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. One way to measure whether we have understood and received forgiveness is to observe the depth of our response to the Savior. Great forgiveness inspires great love. Let's direct our attention to Dr. Matthew Lee Smith as he teaches the congregation at First Baptist Church in Palos Verdes, California, from Luke chapter 7, 36 to 50.
Matthew Birdsall tells us that a friend of his was driving down the carpool lane and she got stopped by the police. And she was all nervous, and the police officer came up and looked in the car and saw in the back her children in car seats. And he apologized and he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." He said, "I didn't see your children in the car seats, and that's why I stopped you." And she goes, "Oh, thank goodness, what a relief. I thought you were going to give me a ticket for going 85 miles an hour." Daphne Ware tells us that she was in a brand new supermarket, and she was checking people out, and it was the first day. And after all the planning, every once in a while, a product wouldn't ring. And when the product wouldn't ring up, there would be this buzzer that would go for about 15 seconds. And it had been a long first day. Always going off. And the checkout people were just frustrated as could be. And this lady had come in and she had a whole bunch of fruits and vegetables. And she had all this good food and everything rang through really well. Until they got to the bag of chips. And the lady looked at her and said, "What is this, a Weight Watchers store?" You and I know what guilt is all about. We've all experienced it. Some of you may be carrying some with you today. In fact, I'm absolutely convinced that when we have a crowd this big, that several of you have been carrying around some guilt for a very long time. You've got bags of it, in fact, that won't go away. You see, guilt is very dangerous. It's more dangerous than the French guillotine. Because with the guillotine, your life ends. But with guilt, your life doesn't end. It's just miserable and painful month after month and year after year. Guilt is the felon that will cut you down to your knees and keep you in prison, the prison of shame. And if you feel guilty about things that you've left undone or that you've done, you know what guilt is all about. It crowds and seeps out while you're laying down on your pillow at night, when the cacophony of noise has abated. Our young people today carry iPods in their ears from the time that they wake up to the time that they go to bed, many of them simply because they do not know how to handle the guilt that they carry with them. But I'd like to tell you, it's only our children. But after 30 years of pastoring, I can tell you that if you're 80 or 18, there's no doubt that you've done something in the past. And if you have not gotten it right with God, you're carrying the guilt of it today. You see, The whole point today is to help us understand that forgiveness is the antidote that destroys guilt. You can go to a psychoanalyst, you can go to a psychotherapist, you can find out what's wrong, but you cannot get relief. Because they cannot remove the guilt. Jesus dealt with this in our passage today in Luke chapter 7. Let me encourage you to read along with me out of Luke chapter 7. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. And now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." It's fascinating that Jesus goes to this house of the Pharisee. If you're not a Bible scholar, you remember that the Pharisees were the ultra-fundamentalists of their day. They lived their lives to complete the rules so that they could be right with God. If you look at this story and you begin to comprehend that this woman is a sinner, we don't know what she's done. She could be the adulteress of another parallel passage. She could just simply be a wicked woman. But there's no doubt the Pharisee recognizes her, and I have 3-1 odds saying that he recognizes her for specific reasons. When we get to heaven, we'll find out. But how does a Pharisee who's excluded from all sorts of immorality know about an immoral woman in town? Did his chariot accidentally go down the wrong street and wind up in the red light district? How does he know this? But she is a disreputable woman by his standard. She is a sinner. Now, the Pharisees were real good at making themselves feel good and everybody else around them feel bad. You can even read in the New Testament, there's a place where we find a Pharisee praying. "Oh God, I thank you that you haven't made me like a Gentile," that's a non-Jew, "or you haven't made me like a dog, or you haven't made me like him." There's a brand in there, isn't there? There's a worm of slime that runs through the prayers of such kinds of people. But this woman didn't say anything, and all she did was she began to weep in his presence, presence of Jesus. She began to wipe his feet with her tears. Religious people, then, as now, can easily allow their concern for high standards to turn into self-righteousness that looks with contempt upon people of lesser religiosity or spirituality or morality. In fact, that's why we say that the religious judge. That's what they do. But Jesus forgives. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't judge you? He forgives you when you come to him. Do I have an amen in the house? Amen. Why does he do this? Because the Bible teaches us something very clear that we talked about. When we talked about the series Alive, Beyond Your Wildest Dreams, when we talked about Life Beyond Your Wildest Dreams, remember Ephesians 2:4, God is rich in mercy. You can love God because he is rich in mercy. He's not a traffic cop, and he doesn't look his nose down at you. It's Melody's birthday week, month, year. I haven't quite figured out which it is yet, but her birthday is Thursday, and so we're celebrating today. When Melody came down the stairs today, she saw the gifts that were there. With an excited expression, she said, "Can I open them?" How many of you like gifts? Can I see your hands? We're making a note of those of you who don't. I love gifts. I love Christmas because it has gifts. I love my birthday because it has gifts. I love my anniversary because it has gifts. And I love it when you mess up and give it to me on the wrong day because I like gifts. I love gifts. Forgiveness is a gift. And sometimes we don't understand the gift. Would you read with me, please, as we continue Luke 7 and we look at beginning at verse 40. Read with me. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Now that's not a good place, by the way, to be. Just to let you know, that's not a good place to be. Okay? Here we go. And he answered, say it, teacher. That's probably not a smart response either. A certain moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And if you don't know what a denarii is, don't worry about it. It's about a day's worth of pay. But just get the idea. One had 500 and one had 50. Verse 42. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Let's read that question again, because Jesus asked it, and it's obviously important. Read with me. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Read with me. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has forgiven little loves little. Two debtors, 500, 50. Some of you know what it's like right now to be in debt. Some of you understand the struggle financially that you're having because you have credit card debt. Some of you have went through those programs. And glory to God, the company has sliced your debt in half, forgiven you the interest, and you go, hallelujah! I love that card company. Some of you have never had that, and you still can't stand your card company, just like most people can't. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Jesus asked the question... Jesus asked the question, now which of them will love him more? There is an implication here, isn't there? The implication is very simple. That the Lord's question implies that forgiveness, hear me, forgiveness precedes love. Forgiveness precedes love. You did catch the Pharisee, didn't you? He brought Jesus into his house, but he treated him contemptuously. He did not care for him. He didn't wash his feet. That was a slave's job. Some slave was supposed to come along and wash the sandaled feet. He didn't give him a kiss, not a oh, I love you, but just a simple greeting, that like a handshake. He didn't give him an anointment for his head, a little oil on the head. It's a part of the symbolism of hospitality. Didn't do any of it. In other words, Pharisee didn't like Jesus. But it looked good in the local paper this week to say, Joe and Joanna Pharisee entertained Jesus of Nazareth at their house on Thursday evening. A good time was had by all. Passage shows us real simply that the religious withhold love. They just don't share the graces of love. But look at Jesus. Jesus lavishes love. He forgives. He forgives. When you come to Jesus and you are broken and you are guilty and you feel that and you walk with him, he forgives. Why? Because God is mercy. grace. There's a fundamental spiritual principle here. Let me encourage you to write it in a white space. Here it is. The love for Jesus is the prime evidence of a forgiven heart. Just write it down. Love for Jesus is the prime evidence of a forgiven heart. To whom has been forgiven much, those people love Jesus more than anything else. Jesus Christ is the center of their life, the center of their checkbook, the center of their day timer, the center of their relationships. But for those who haven't been forgiven very much, Jesus tells us that there is a diminishing return in their lives. As we wrap up this passage, I want to go back to that and start at Luke 7:47, because forgiveness is a pardon, and I want you to see it. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Watch the response. Those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, I love this line. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Forgiven much, loves much. How do we know she loves much? Demonstration. In the white space somewhere, just write down the words, love equals action. God's not interested in our talk. He's interested in our walk. Love equals action. Sins are forgiven. God forgives when we act on our failures by coming to him with grace and mercy. He gives us so much. But some people question forgiveness. Here they question, who is Jesus to forgive sins? But you know, some people have committed sins that you know about. And sometimes this slimy worm that comes through our lives asks, who do they think they are that they could be forgiven? We have to be very careful. Because if we trivialize sin, our own, if we trivialize forgiveness to someone else or ourselves, we have little reason to pour out love for Jesus. I find myself back to this concept time and time again. I've been a follower of Jesus for 35 years, and I keep having to come back to the cross. I keep having to come back to amazing grace. I have to come back to that Matt Redman song we sang just before we started this message. Oh, no, he'll never let go. And if God never lets go, who am I to ever let go of someone else? Forgiveness is scandalous. Because despite the wickedness and despite the error that someone might do to God, God forgives. And some people question that. They want their pound of flesh. They want to be the judge and executioner. And they've decided that they're going to put you or me on a slow, slow, slow payment plan. But if we've come to know the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, like God, we accept by faith what Jesus says. We forgive as well as receive forgiveness. Notice that that verse ends in verse 50, Jesus saying, your faith has saved you, go in peace. And there's no record that she didn't just leave. By faith, she trusted Christ. Jesus is the forgiver. In our response to Jesus is the infallible evidence of whether or not we've understood and received forgiveness. How do we respond? The thing you've done, the failure you've committed, is very real. But when you come to Jesus Christ and ask for mercy in a sincere heart, the demonstration of your heart saying, I ache by this failure, God wipes it away and forgives it. So the question is, what will you do? What will I do? The question is simple this morning. It's a question of experience. Have you experienced the forgiveness of God? You say, yeah, I came to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about that. I take a shower frequently. How many would say amen, you do the same thing? Frequently. Frequently. Amen. Amen. Good, good. Ever notice, though, once in a while you get dirty during the day? I noticed I got a little toothpaste on my clothes this morning after I'd taken my shower. Into the bathroom, wipe it up. Forgiveness isn't just the one shower. It's the frequent cleaning up the little messes. Like when you make your hands dirty, making lunch, and you have to wash them off. Forgiveness again and again. God wants us to do something very clear. He wants us to confess our sin. Would you read 1 John 1:9 with me? You probably have it memorized. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Many years ago, my good friend Jess was praying one Wednesday night. He said, Father, forgive us our sins. I was younger. Had a good relationship with everybody in the room. And I said, which ones? Out loud. It's kind of one of those, did that come out? Did I say that out loud? He began to laugh. When you confess your sins, do you name it and claim it? Or do you do like my friend Jess and talk it and cover it? Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hands. Have you ever lied? If you've lied, then you're a liar. Have you ever taken anything that wasn't yours? Maybe it was on the side of the road. Maybe it was just laying there in the parking lot, but it wasn't yours. If you've taken it and it wasn't yours, you're a... Why can't we do that when we pray? See, the point of today's message is this, is that if we will confess our sins, to confess means to say the same thing, to call them what God calls them. In other words, don't say, forgive my sin. That's impersonal. Doesn't carry a lot of weight in my soul or in God's, for that matter. My pastor, Rick Warren, says that if you want something to be powerful, you have to be precise. So I say things like this. Forgive me of my lie. Forgive me of my thievery. Forgive me, I've got a list of things you could say, of my lust, of my profanity, of my slandering, of my outbursts of temper, of my negligence, of my grumbling, of my murmuring, of my laziness, of my criticizing, of my gossiping, of my lack of... I could go on and on and on and on and on. And so could you. Now listen, there's an old song. The old timers know this one real well. And it says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Confession believes that. And confession goes like this. Confess your many failures, name them one by one, and it will horrify you to see what you have done. But in the confession, hear me, grab this. This is it. This is the destination. This is the depot I wanted to get you to today. In the confession of naming specifically what you've done, your heart is broken. And you have the right attitude of heart to ask for forgiveness from God. You may weep. You may cry. And that's okay. This whole message comes down to the reality that your acts, my acts of loving sacrifice, reflect the depth of mine and yours known forgiveness. In other words, the way you give demonstrates
how you understand you have been forgiven.
That was the sentence I was waiting for all week and couldn't write down. Write that down, woman. That's wonderful.
The way you give demonstrates how much you know you're forgiven.
She came. She humbled herself. She humiliated herself in public. She wept. She washed. She poured out perfume. In other words, if you and I are going to get the depth of love, we need to confess the horror of our failures. Not just once for all in the past, but as we need to clean ourselves up in front of God every day whenever that happens. In other words, we need to deepen our love by confessing our failures, to name them one by one and accept God's forgiveness each and every time. Let's pray. Father God, I've been so moved by this message this week. And it is my sincere hope that you have spoken this morning to each and every one of us. Oh no, you'll never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, you'll never let go of us. God, help us to move now from the guilt to the forgiveness by knowing with assurance that you are merciful and gracious, and no matter what we have done, you will forgive us. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.
Expressing and receiving God's love and forgiveness is what Dr. Smith's book, In His Image, is all about. As you respond to God's word and wisdom today, we are sure this book will show you both how to love like God loves and enjoy His forgiveness on a daily basis. Copies are available on the sidebar at the eaglesinleadership.org website. We encourage you to order yours today. You can also contact Dr. Smith in one of three ways: commenting on this post at eaglesinleadership.org or by emailing us at transformedpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can call our voicemail line at 206-350-1566. Leave a comment that we can play on a future episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review at iTunes or Podcast Pickle. Feel free to pass this episode on to a friend. This podcast was recorded in Palos Verdes, California, by Tabitha Gray Smith. All material contained therein is copyrighted under the Creative Commons license. Please do not rebroadcast without permission. Now, until our next episode, Experiencing Daily Forgiveness, I'm your host, Mike Powers, asking God to bless you with His favor and goodness.